This is Everyday Faith with your host, Jeff Gaffney, here on News Talk 107.5 FM and 1260 AM WCHB.
Good morning and welcome to Everyday Faith Radio. This is Jeff Gaffney, your host for the next 30 minutes as we talk about faith and the importance of faith in the different areas of our lives. Whether you're in the workplace or you're a student or an at-home parent, or maybe you're taking care of a loved one, or maybe you're just someone who has never really had faith and you're searching for what your purpose is, well, the next 30 minutes, we will interview everyday people who share their everyday faith. And today's reading from the Bible comes from the Old Testament. We're in Proverbs and Psalms, a couple of my favorites. And so here we go, Proverbs 21, verse 31. The horse is prepared for the day of battle, but deliverance and victory are of the Lord. Put a different way, from the Message translation, it reads like this: do your best, prepare for the worst, then trust God to bring victory. The second reading is from Psalm 1, which is my favorite this week. I've been just hanging on to Psalm 1, and it goes like this, verses 1 to 3. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. Thank you so much for joining us today on the show. We now have all our podcasts loaded on iTunes. If you want to hear the previous programs, or you can now check out mark5ministries.com as well. We have an email address. It's everydayfaithradio@gmail.com, and we appreciate your comments and encouragements, and we welcome your prayer requests. Again, this is Everyday Faith Radio. I'm Jeff Gaffney. Thank you so much for joining us. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back with today's guest. Please stay with us.
Here's what's happening in Central Virginia, sponsored by Virginia Blood Services.
The Earliesville Farmers Market is now open through mid-October, Thursdays from 4 to 7 p.m. at Buck Mountain Episcopal Church. The Sexual Assault Resource Agency is now accepting nominations for the annual Annette DeGregoria Grimm Award. The award recognizes extraordinary contributions to the elimination of sexual violence. Nominations must be submitted by July 31st. The 32nd Annual Special Olympics 10K Run and 2-Mile Walk will be on September 19th at Meriwether Lewis Elementary School on Owensville Road. The race begins at 8 a.m.
If your charity or nonprofit organization has an event coming up, tell us about it. Email your information at least 4 weeks in advance to psa@seavillestations.com. For more information about these and other events, go to our Concerts Events calendar at wchv.com.
This is Everyday Faith with your host, Jeff Gaffney, here on News Talk 107.5 FM and 1260 AM WCHB.
And welcome back to Everyday Faith Radio. This is Jeff Gaffney, your host, and thank you so much for joining us this morning. With us today, back on the program, my good friend Michael Guthrie. Michael, thanks for being on the show.
Hey, it's my pleasure. Thank you so much for having me, Jeff. Glad to be here.
I always think it's just something kind of God-ordained when you and I get together because for our listeners, Michael and I are both in our day jobs. We're both CEOs of real estate companies in this town, and we're out on the streets kind of arm wrestling each other in a very respectable and friendly way. But then we get together to talk about the goodness of the Lord. We get together, we kind of put all our weapons down, so to speak, and we get together and we realize that, first and foremost, we're brothers in Christ.
Right.
And so I just love that part of our relationship is that, you know, we're you know, rivals, but then not really, you know, when it comes down to it, we're really on the same team.
Well, and it's been fun for us as well for folks to notice our friendship, even though they know we're competitors in the marketplace. But then when we're together, there's a warmth, there's a caring for one another. And I think it's been great. I think it's set an example for folks that you can be fierce in your day job, your business, but at the end of the day, you know, the Lord comes first.
And I have to tell you, and this none of this is puffery, this is just from the heart, is that you are somebody who has inspired me through the years with your faith, your boldness with your faith. You're not ashamed of the gospel. You're out there, and I think if anybody runs into Michael Guthrie, although, you know, you wear the title CEO of Roy Wheeler Realty, you know, they definitely, when they come in contact with you, they know that you're a strong believer and a man of really strong faith, and I admire that about you.
I really appreciate it. I think a friend of mine says to me that he has a new filter in his life, and his filter is when he's meeting people, his filter is that person a Christian first and then a real estate agent or an attorney or a doctor, or are they a doctor and then they, you know, have a faith on the side? And he said that what he has found over the last, you know, couple of years is the folks who are the most genuine people that he knows are people that name the name of Christ as the person that they're following, but they're very, very strong in the way that they're trying to do their business in the best way possible. And I thought that was, I never really had thought about that before, but you know, it's a simple thing. You know, if you love the Lord with all your heart, well, that doesn't mean just at certain times. It needs to be in the midst of everything that you do, and that doesn't mean that we don't make mistakes and screw up and say the wrong things or do the wrong things, but it does mean that we're trying our best to live our life with a servant heart and treat those that the Lord has us cross paths with in the same way that he would treat them.
I want to ask you, because I am interested in this, has that always been your way? I mean, have you always been bold about your faith, particularly in the marketplace? Or has that been something that's sort of grown over time? And the reason I'm asking that question is that so often you and I are told, you know, kind of politically, hey, you know, kind of keep your beliefs to yourself. You don't want to offend anybody. You don't want to be too kind of, quote, in your face about, and you want to wear your faith on your sleeve and da-da-da-da-da-da-da. But again, as I've known you, you've always been somebody who seems to just kind of cut right through that and says, you know, this is who I am.
Well, I think part of it is that, you know, out of college, I went on Young Life staff for 4 years. So I was the first area director for Young Life here in Charlottesville.
Did not know that.
Yeah. Worked with the high school kids. And so, you know, from an early age, high school, college, and then working with high school kids for 4 years, I learned that to walk the walk before I talk the talk, that my faith was important and that I wanted to share my faith with others, but that you needed to earn the right to be heard, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And then got into the real estate business. And as you know, we're fortunate in that in the real estate business, you are you do your business in the way that you want to do it. There are a lot of different ways to do it and be successful. And one of the reasons I got in the business is I wanted to be in a job where somebody didn't say, this is how it has to be done. And if you don't do it this way, you can't do it or you can't be successful. And I said, well, from the very beginning, I said, well, if I can't do it in a way that honors the Lord, then I won't be successful at it and I'll go on to something else. And I've been very fortunate in the 34 years or so that I've been doing this, that I've been in places where people never felt like I was offensive or trying to, you know, throw up all over somebody. And, you know, I've worked for people, I've been employed by, you know, companies. But one, I was successful in the places I worked. But I hope that I cared for people in a way that that allowed me to live out my faith that way and be bold in it. But at the same time, I think that people who work for me know that I'm not somebody that looks at them differently if they don't believe the same way I do.
Yeah. I have so many questions to ask you, but the next question really kind of comes to mind is, so you and I are two guys who have We've been through the storms of real estate. You know, real estate has not been an easy ride. And, you know, when I was trying to draw a graph for somebody the other day, we took it back 15 years to the year 2000. And then you had 9/11 that happened 2001. And then you had kind of the easing of interest rates and easing of credit. And you had that big buildup, the big run-up from, 2002 up until really the middle of or the end of 2006, and in some ways it included 2007. But then you had 2008, and boy, that year, at the end of that year, really, really hurt. And then all of a sudden 2009, and you and I are in the real estate business, and you're sort of wondering, are we ever going to see the bottom? Are we at the bottom? Is this the bottom? Was that the bottom? Where is the bottom? And you could never really kind of get your foundation under you. And so my question, even though you and I know now that we did find the bottom, we're headed back up, not in a crazy way, but in what seems to be a healthy real estate market. But I'm wondering, during those 2009 in particular, during that time, how did your faith help you during the time that you really, the real estate market, and so for a lot of people, a lot of careers are in a free fall. How did your faith help you during that time?
You know, it's interesting for those that don't know, I came back to Charlottesville in 2005, end of 2005, and then 2006 came, and things started, as you said, started to go, and I'm like, holy smokes, had no idea that we were going to go through this gradual decline for several years. And people would say to me, do you ever second guess leaving Northern Virginia in the position that you were in up there to come down to take over a company and try to grow it? Did you ever second guess, what in the world are you doing? And I can honestly say, Jeff, not that, we were in a very different financial situation than we were in Northern Virginia, and we had to, sort of figure things out. But I can honestly say I really believe God had called me back to Charlottesville, that this was the entity, being the broker and CEO of Roy Wheeler, was the entity to get me back, that there were other things that he had in store for me. Mm-hmm. And so I never second-guessed it. And going back to Proverbs 31, I went through for a couple of years, and in the last couple of years it's been a major help for me. I went through this time of trying to figure out, who I was supposed to be and how do I do this, and are we going to, get this thing going back the other way and that kind of thing. And the Lord taught me four things. He said, I want you to do four things. He said, one, I want you to love me with all your heart. Trust me and love me with all your heart. Then he said, I want you to be true to the word. I want you to, live your life according to what the Bible tells you to do. Third, I want you to love people the way I love you, which oftentimes is unlovable. I want you to love people in that way. And then the fourth one was a hard one, and it goes back to Proverbs 21:31. He said, and I don't want you to be attached to the outcome. Mm. He said, if you do the first three things, the outcome's on me.
Mm-hmm.
And it may not be the outcome you want. It may not end the way that you want it to go. It may turn out to be something different, but it'll be my outcome, not your outcome.
Wow.
And that has just been so freeing.
Freeing, yes.
Because I can be responsible for the first three, but there's so many things that happen in our lives that we have no control over.
Mm-hmm.
Whether you think you do or not, you don't.
Mm-hmm.
And things can change on a dime. You've certainly seen it in your work situation, your family situation, and you've handled it beautifully. And in the, on the backside of it, or at least closer to the backside of it, you can honestly say that, man, the Lord got my attention, and I am much better off having gone through that. But man, in the midst of the storm, I say all the time, I learned so many more things in adversity than I do in blessing, because for me, in my blessing, I find, oh, well, look, I'm a pretty good person. Look what's happened. Or I'm really good at this, and look what's happened. And so the blessing almost comes about me and what I did. But in adversity, man, I'm right back saying, Lord, what do we do in this situation? How are we going to? But those three things, and then just not being attached to the outcome, and Him saying clearly to me, it's on me at that point.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to take care of you.
Mm-hmm.
That's what got Dottie and me through those years, and we really tried, and I think for the most part we did put ourselves in a position of not second guessing that this is where the Lord wants us to be, and God's let me do so many different things other than work since I've been back, and I'm just so grateful for that.
Do you see a connection with being drawn back to Charlottesville, and in some ways, I think you can look back historically now and say, I don't know everything about your company, but you coming in, strengthening up your company pre-recession, and in some ways you could say, you know, maybe save the company from, because a lot of companies didn't come through the recession. And so I kind of, when I hear your story, I kind of think about the Book of Esther and such a time as this. And, you know, you were, you know, that God said, this is, I'm putting you here for this. And as you learned to do, is you trusted him enough to come and then trusted enough to kind of detach from the outcome. What I love about that is that may have been God's way of whispering in your ear saying, this is going to be a little painful.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, you know, buckle up, hunker down. And for those of us in the real estate market in 2008 and 2009, whew, what a ride.
Well, and, you know, again, the ego part of it, the pride part of it, we did our due diligence and we knew that what we had in Northern Virginia was never going to be Charlottesville from a standpoint of compensation. It just couldn't be. Mm-hmm. The market is just completely different. And we were willing to do that because we believed that God was calling back to Charlottesville. So we took a pretty significant hit financially to come back. But the Michael Guthrie said, oh, yeah, but I'm that good. So in no time, I'll get that hit back to at least 50% or whatever, and we'll be fine because our kids are out of college and blah, blah, blah. Well, then 2006, 2007, and there was no increase. Right, that was just hanging in there. And so, you know, he made it clear that you're not going to get the same. But thankfully, we made a decision not based on the finances. We made a decision on the fact that we believed that we were called back here. But, you know, I will say that the Lord allowed me to, in my own mind, think you're going to be, you know, okay in a couple, 3 years because you'll have brought it back to this place. Mm-hmm. And that's the part that, you know, caught me off guard. But, you know, it is what it is. And as Dottie and I say all the time, we haven't missed a meal yet.
Right.
Sometimes it's peanut butter and jelly. Mm-hmm. Other times, you know, it's steak and potatoes. But we haven't missed a meal yet, and we're grateful for that.
And you've led a lot of people through, you know, really kind of a tough time in the business. I really think that God brought you here for a purpose, and you've had a tremendous impact on a lot of people in this community. And I'm glad to know you. We are talking with Michael Guthrie, the CEO of Roy Wheeler Realty. This is Everyday Faith Radio. I'm Jeff Gaffney. We're going to take a break and be back in just a moment. Please stay with us for more Everyday Faith Radio.
Here's what's happening in Central Virginia, sponsored by Virginia Blood Services.
The Earliesville Farmers Market is now open through mid-October, Thursdays from 4 to 7 p.m. at Buck Mountain Episcopal Church. The Sexual Assault Resource Agency is now accepting nominations for the annual Annette DeGregoria Grimm Award. The award recognizes extraordinary contributions to the elimination of sexual violence. Nominations must be submitted by July 31st. The 32nd Annual Special Olympics 10K Run and 2-Mile Walk will be on September 19th at Meriwether Lewis Elementary School on Owensville Road. The race begins at 8 a.m.
If your charity or nonprofit organization has an event coming up, tell us about it. Email your information at least 4 weeks in advance to psa@sevillestations.com. For more information about these and other events, go to our Concerts Events calendar at wchv.com.
This is Everyday Faith with your host, Jeff Gaffney. Here on News Talk 107.5 FM and 1260 AM WCHB.
And welcome back to Everyday Faith Radio. This is Jeff Gaffney, your host, and with us on the program today is my good friend Michael Guthrie. Michael is the CEO of Roy Wheeler Realty. He's a competitor of mine during the day. He runs a great ship over there at Roy Wheeler Realty. It's a fine real estate company in town. And we compete against each other during the day, but we both love the Lord and we share that together. And so we get this opportunity to get together and talk about really what the Lord has put on both of our hearts. And I want to move into this, Michael. The second verse is something I have spent so much time in Psalm 1. And it's been part of my, I stumbled upon it. I probably read it 15 times before, and then it came back to me just in the last month, and it was in front of me, and I just read it in all the different translations. And I just want to talk about the Psalm 1 man, because The Psalm 1 man, when we read this verse, and I didn't read the whole entirety of Psalm 1, but I read the parts, and I'm going to go through it again, and maybe you and I can pick it apart a little bit. But first, blessed is the man. Some of the translations, when we start with blessed is the man, they take out the word blessed and they insert the word happy. And so I think sometimes when we understand that a man... I don't know about you, Michael, but there have been many times in the last 5 years, 10 years, where I've been searching for some happiness. Happiness has been a struggle. You know, just the challenges of life, whether it's work or raising a family or financial situations, just challenges. And so Psalm 1 redefined for me what happiness is. So happiness, so we, instead of saying blessed is the man, we'll read this right now as happy is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of the sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scoffers. So in other words, happy is the man who doesn't do these three things. You know, he's not walking with them, he's not standing with them, and he's not sitting with them. And by the way, the them that we're talking about in this verse is what people like you and I and all of our listeners are being marketed to, or, you know, the whole world is marketing to you. You know, you only live once, you know, go for it. You know, if it feels good, do it. And so Psalm 1, you know, says, no, happy is the man who's not hanging out with those people, but look at where his happiness comes from. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. And so, you're way ahead of me on this faith journey, and you spent a long time reading God's Word. As somebody who's a little newer to God's Word, but really enjoys reading God's Word, when I see that his delight is in the law, which is, you know, another way of saying this delight is reading God's Word or reading the Bible, and he thinks about it day and night. And so oftentimes, and I'm coming to you here in just a second, but oftentimes I think, you know, the happy man is the man who reads God's Word and thinks about it day and night. That's kind of a summary of that opening part of the Psalm 1 man. And when it comes to me like that, I say, you know what? I'm a pretty happy guy because I am... my delight is in the law of the Lord or reading God's Word. And when I think of it that way, you know, it just automatically a smile comes on my face. And I realize, you know what? That's where it is for me.
So what I would say in regards to what you're saying is just switch it. Put happy as a man, but at the end of it, after you read that, happy as a man, blah, 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 and for that I'm blessed. And the point being is that I'm not walking there. I'm doing this, and therefore I'm blessed. And there's a book that's written by a friend of mine, Dan Britton, and John Gordon helped write it. It's called One Word, and it's a simple little book. If you ever get it, listeners, if you ever get it, just get it and read through it, and it literally takes you through how to figure out how to focus on just one word for a year. And 2 years ago, I focused on the word blessed because I didn't feel blessed. I look around and I see these people get to do this and these people do this and these people don't have to work and these people have this and that. And I'm thinking, you know, I get this passive aggressive aspect, but then I realize I'm outside of the Lord. I'm not in his word. I'm not, later in that verse, I'm not planted in the roots of his stream. My roots aren't planted in the stream. You know, John 15 talks about, I'm the vine, you're the branches. You know, if you're not attached to the vine, you ain't going to live, and you get in that place, but when you realize how much you do have and how grateful you are, and you did this great a few weeks ago when you talked about, you know, joy and when joy is not there, and that whole aspect of just realizing, oh, wait a minute, I got this going for me, and oh my gosh, God's got this for me, and oh my gosh, I have this, and the next thing I know, and therefore I'm blessed. And you know, a friend of mine, Todd Gongwer, who's gotten to be a friend, I'm really grateful to have him as a friend, wrote a book called Lead for God's Sake. And it's a book that has had an amazing impact on people around the country, but including Charlottesville, a lot of really cool stories about that. But the boil the book down to one thing, and it says, it's not what you do, it's who you are. So it's not about me being successful at this or successful at this. It's about who I am. And then from there, and therefore I'm blessed. And so, but I think you're absolutely right. You know, so many of us are seeking happiness.
Yes.
But happiness is not what the Lord is saying that He wants to give us. He wants to give us a life. You mentioned in a show I listened to recently about John 10:10. He wants to give us an abundant life, and not only does He want to give us an abundant life, He wants to give it to us more abundantly. But what that looks like is this day-to-day knowing that I am blessed and that the God of the universe wants to be in a relationship with me. And I heard something the other day that I thought was really cool. He said, and I don't know who said it, but they said, if you really believe that heaven is real, then you will live your life differently here. And if you don't, you won't. And I thought that was really an interesting perspective of it. If I really believe this is where I'm going, then the way I live my life here is going to be very different. I'm not even saying about earning it, because you can't earn it. You know, Christ came to die for us because we can't earn it. But what it does mean is, holy moly, if I'm going there and I'm going to have that, then I want to live my life in a way that honors Him here. So,
you know, it's interesting. I was just thinking, we've had Pete Bulette on this show, and he is the founder of Chi Alpha, which stands for Christ Ambassador at the University of Virginia. And congratulations to Pete. They're celebrating their 15-year anniversary this year. 600 students at the University of Virginia involved in Chi Alpha. And Pete is an awesome guy, and I love having him on the show, much like you, Michael. But one of the things, Pete is going to come back on the show, and he's going to talk about the challenges with social media that we are faced with today that 10 years ago we weren't faced with. And one of the things I was laughing to myself when you said, well, it's hard to find joy when you look on Facebook and this person's in the Bahamas and this person's at the river and this person's in France and this person's at the Eagles concert. And I was like, oh my gosh, the Eagles were in town. Idiot me. I was like, oh, that looks like pretty fun. But what Pete is going to be on the show is just to talk about the challenges we have today that we have never really had before as a society. And then you get into, well, I posted a picture on Facebook. How many likes do I have? I'm going to set my all-time highs in likes. Anyway, that's off the course.
But it's not off the course. And the thing that I would say to you about that is, in regards to social media, is what I have learned on a positive side of it is how many people are looking for people to give them hope.
Yes.
And as you know, I post something every morning, whatever God has kind of put in my heart or I read or whatever. I post something, and Jeff, I can't tell you how many people have said to me, you know, I go and I look for that every morning. Mm-hmm. I have friends from high school that I, you know, haven't seen in a long time, who now I've connected back with and are looking at that. And the thing it says to me is I keep on thinking that, you know, maybe it's run its course, but then somebody will say, oh, blah, blah, blah. There are people that are looking for people to give them hope and to give them encouragement.
Yeah.
And that hope comes from the Lord, you know, and so there, you know, there's the negative side of it, but the exhortation I would give to your listeners is, you know, think about just, you know, offering out hope and encouragement to those that do
it's
follow
quite a,
you.
Quite a platform to leverage. You're right, and Michael, the show is winding down here, but I will say I look at your posts on social media, and I'm very thankful, because a lot of who you are reading and paying attention to and who you're posting, the C.S. Lewis's, the Tim Keller's of the world, are people that I've really begun to study. And I will say, it's been very helpful. So don't stop doing that, Michael. Michael, we got to go. But this is Everyday Faith Radio. Thank you so much for being on the program.
My pleasure. It's great to be here.
Folks, again, if you get a chance, check out mark5ministries.com for all of our previous podcasts. Have a blessed and awesome Sunday. God, we need you to come.